We bring in Matt Eholt from MLB, covers MLB for Yahoo Sports and Queens Baseball Club. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing well, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's start with, from your eyes and being there, what happened after the game with between Newsday beat reporter Tim Healy and Mets manager Mickey Callaway, and what happened in the clubhouse afterwards?
All right, so you really got to start with the whole thing starts with what happened in the game, right? So the Mets are up 3-2 in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
They don't bring in Edwin Diaz.
Right.
Seth Lugo, who was clearly nothing, he told us after the game he didn't have anything today, blows the game. So post-game, Mickey gets grilled about it. There's a lot of questions. And as some people might know, at one point he even snapped at me. I asked him about, do they need to be flexible about their five-out rule for Diaz? And he said, why? Or no, just because you think so. So Mickey agitated.
Yeah, you were the just because you think so guy. So it's true.
Right. And I didn't have the chance to respond to Mickey and say, well, I'm not the only one who thinks this. but he was in no mood today. But that was like, you know, so that was his kind of little, you know, snide mocking remark. So anyway, we're probably in the clubhouse about 15 minutes. Nothing has happened. I mean, you know, everything's been fine. DeGrom talked. Lugo talked. We're just waiting for Edwin Diaz at this point to come out. Because, you know, Diaz uses a translator after the game. So we're just waiting for him to talk. And Mickey comes out of his office and he walks by Tim. Now, a little pulling back the curtain here. On days these guys travel, it is very customary for, you know, beat writers to just say, like, hey, along the line, something of like, hey, man, have a safe trip or something. I know I do it all the time. I tell guys, hey, man, have a safe trip. I'll see you tomorrow or something. Like, you know, like, you spend 6 months or it's 8 months of the year with these people. Like, if you can't exchange pleasantries with them, it's going to be miserable. So, you know, you just talk to people. So Mickey walks by, and Tim, who I will just state this at the beginning, was not in the wrong in any way. He did not do anything wrong. Sent to Mickey. He just said, hey, see you tomorrow, Mickey. Mickey, for some reason, and I can't say because, I mean, you know, we haven't talked to him. Mickey took that as a mocking or sarcastic tone. He thought that there was something malicious behind it, which there was not. I you know, Tim, I work with him every day. He's a great guy. Tim would not, like, mock Mickey. Like, that's just not at all what would happen. So Mickey walks by at that point, and he says, don't be a smartass, and then he bleep and bleep. So then he comes back, and Tim is there, and they start talking about what Tim said. Now, Tim is trying to explain to him, like, Mickey, I didn't mean anything. I was just saying to see you tomorrow. Mickey was not having any of it, and he starts cursing him out. Now, the thing about this is he's doing this in front of the entire clubhouse and all the media. He did not pull Tim aside down a hallway or bring him into his office. He does this in front of everybody. So we're all standing in there, and he starts doing it. He's cursing Tim out. At some point, he's calling him a lot of, you know, four and I think it's 12-letter words, right? And says, and is screaming at the PR guy, get him out of there. We don't need this BS. So this is going on, whatever. It eventually stops, and Jason Vargas, who was like standing about 10 feet away from me at this time, because I was on the Wrigley Field clubhouse is like a square, is a rectangle. So Healy was on one side with everybody, and I was on the other. And him and Vargas just starts kind of staring, like he's standing there. And no point was Vargas in this. This was something he was just kind of staring. And then basically, I forget what the exact thing is, but Tim said to him at one point, he said something along the lines of like, there's something you want to say? Because Vargas is like giving him like a death stare. And then Vargas just lost it. He's screaming at him and then basically challenges Tim to a fight and then says to him the line, which everybody knows, I'll knock you the bleep out, bro. And then eventually he charges at Tim. He starts going towards him. Now, there was a little bit of furniture in his way. I don't know if he would have actually got there, but like, Carlos Gomez comes running in to stop him, Syndergaard. So, like, players had to come in and stop him. So, and you know, I mean, Tim did not do anything. Like Tim did not tell him, just bring it or something. He didn't do a wrestling thing, like, come get me. You know, but so then that happened. Tim left the clubhouse right after that. The rest of us waited around for Edwin Diaz. We talked to him for 2 minutes, and we got out of there. It was it was just this happened in front of the complete public.
So you've obviously been around a lot of clubhouses and a lot of conversations. How often does it happen that a manager, if he has a beef with a reporter, will call him aside, or him or her aside, and have a one-on-one conversation?
Yo, that happens all the time, like a one-on-one. Like, I've had talks with managers where they've ripped me a new one over something, mm-hmm. but never in front of everybody else. Like, yeah. I've had talks, and trust, I'm not trying to make this about me in any way.
Right.
Like, I'm just saying, I've had talks, hey, the course of our job, people aren't always going to like what you write or what mm-hmm. you say. So
yep.
I've had times they pull me apart. But the thing is, when you, like I said, Mickey could have pulled Tim into his room,
yep.
cursed him out, and it would have been something that he said basically, you know, something along the lines of where he did it away from everybody. He did it in front of everybody here, so I don't know if that was a personal thing, if that was he wanted it out there. Like he made it a story by yeah. doing it the way he did, because, you know, if he just says the one thing about don't be a smart-ass bleeper, you know, like, that's included in stories, but that's not the back page, like Mickey getting pissed off, because people have muttered things. Like, he did it in front of everybody, and, you know, like I said, he easily could have said to Tim, hey, come in my office, and then just screamed at him, but that mm-hmm. would have been something behind closed doors, right? And Tim's not going to come out and say, well, guys, this is what Mickey said, put it in your stories. Like, you know, there is a certain understanding, like I said. I mean, you know, I've had things with managers behind closed
sure.
doors. I don't put it out there, because if you have something with somebody behind closed doors, you don't put it to the public and say, well, I just got in an altercation with so-and-so. Don't you guys want to know this? Like, that's not how it goes.
Talking to Matt Eholt about the Mets, he was covering and there at Wrigley Field on Sunday. And Matt, you know, I've heard theories out there. I'm personally not putting a lot of stock in them, but I wanted your opinion on this, is that Mickey doing this in some ways is almost like he's had enough of this job and is trying to get himself fired. I mean, what, you know, do you think that has any validity?
I'm not going to say that was what it was. I think what this was, and again, I am just guessing here because,
sure.
you know,
I did not
text Missy Callaway while he was on the plane tonight and say, Mickey, would you like to explain what happened tonight?
and then you duck, by the way, after you say that.
Right. Mickey, I think, was in the mood today where he was not happy with the line of questioning all day, because even in the morning he got grilled about, I mean, I asked him, I said, why did you sit Conforto and McNeil on the same day?
Yep.
Why not stagger? So I do not think he was happy with that. It was a horrible loss. He knows that it's all on him. Everything was going to get blamed. I just think this was something where this is a guy who's had a lot of anger built up, and he just snapped. He just, for some reason, he took it as something that it was not completely, and he just lost his cool. I mean, you know,
yep.
I think that is all it is. Because like I said, Tim is
sure.
not malicious. Mickey knows that. He's around him every day.
Yep.
Tim's a great guy.
He's
literally a great guy.
Yeah.
And he would not be, he
of
is
course.
Not one who would mock him
yeah.
as he walks by to make like a job security joke.
Now the questions about the lineup and Mickey being, you know, ready kind of at a breaking point by the end of the game there in the postgame presser. How much do you think, you know, how much does Mickey have input, in your opinion or from what you hear, in a decision like McNeil and Conforto both getting rest on the same day? I know the front office may have some input on players' rest and all of that, but does Mickey have input, you know, if it's, hey, I only want to rest one of my top three hitters instead of resting two of my top three hitters on this important game? How much input does Mickey get? And is some of the anger then, is he covering from does he feel like he's covering for a front office and he's the guy who has to take all the heat and doesn't make the decision?
I can't say to the exact point of how much input he has in the exact lineup. The front office does play a large role. There's a lot of this that is, and I think you hit on it, is that in a lot of ways he is taking the bullets for the front office on stuff that he's saying, you know, like Diaz. Listen, I'm sure if Mickey Callaway had his choice, then Mickey Callaway would have had Diaz out there, but they've set the rule on four and he can't go past it, right? Like, I mean, anyone watching that game today, I mean, think about how much different the line of questioning is if he brings in Diaz and he blows it.
Yep.
It's just the thing. It's like, hey, listen.
What are you going to do?
You just say, hey, it just didn't go for you. Blew it. Nobody questions the move, but it is. So, I mean, I think that is some of the frustration here is, like, you know, he's having to answer for stuff that's not in his control. I mean, you know, there is a very big sentiment of how much does, you know, Mickey really – is he just – how much of this is really just Mickey saying what they want him to say and doing what they want him to do, and how much does he have control over stuff? Because, you know, I mean, I can't say for certain – that he was told today, right, to, like, sit both of those guys. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I mean, it's one of these things where the front office does have a very large say in a lot of things.
Yeah, I can understand if they have rest plans for a lot of players, but I would have a hard time believing that it's a bad situation if the front office really is saying rest your, you know, two of your top three hitters. That to me doesn't seem to be a good plan from the manager. But you touched on something when you first came on that I talked about earlier and I want to bring up, which is that after the game, it seemed pretty clear to most people watching, including Mets broadcasters, radio and TV, and a lot of Mets fans watching, that Seth Lugo did not have his best stuff on this day. And in the post-game interviews, all of you asked him about it. And Lugo admitted and said he didn't have his good stuff today. He said there were two or three pitches that he felt good about. The rest of them, he was really struggling. And yet in the postgame presser when Mickey Callaway was asked about it, Mickey said to his eyes that Seth Lugo did have good stuff and that really was just one pitch that he hung. Now, my issue or question is, even with something like that, is your sense, is that really what Mickey Callaway is seeing, that Seth Lugo, did he legit, when you asked him that question, being there in the room with him, looking at his eyes, did he really think that Seth Lugo had his good stuff today?
I can't say. I honestly don't know, because this gets to a larger point with Mickey, where Mickey says a lot of stuff sometimes that you have to shake your head at. He doesn't acknowledge a lot of times when stuff is like right in front of you, right? In the sense of, like, today, you know, the Mets have, I mean, here's the thing to think about and all that is, like, you know, the Mets have three pitcher, essentially, guys on their staff now. They have three of them. And Mickey's saying he thought this stuff was great. And it's one of those things where it's just like, how can there be such a disconnect? But, you know, Mickey, again, like, you know, he often will not go and say, like, Rosario's playing poorly. It took him 72 games to admit Wilson Ramos is not having a good defensive season. So there's a lot of times where he just covers and just always says the positive thing instead of, like, you know, like, I don't think it would have been wrong today if he said, I can't. Maybe it was something he was saying that as a way to cover for himself. That he was saying, well, if I say that, you know, if I admit that, you know, he wasn't throwing good, I make myself look bad. That he just said, oh, I thought he was throwing great. But then when your pitcher says it, it raises the question, well, you were a pitching coach. How did you not notice this guy doesn't have anything?
Now, the Mets come out and apologize publicly to Tim Healy for this and say they don't condone the behavior of their, you know, of any employee behaving in this fashion. Let's turn the page. What happens now in Philadelphia, and what happens in this clubhouse and the players who now have to respond to all of this about their manager and the pressure that they're under? Do you see, you know, if the Mets are apologizing now for Mickey and for Vargas, can you envision a situation where the manager gets fired?
I don't think he gets fired unless they, like, maybe I'm wrong here, unless they get, like, swept by Philly, then maybe they have to make a move. So they'd be coming home, and it could be really bad. The thing about this was it was really only one guy, right? Like, I mean, I was sitting in there. There were guys who had no clue what was going on. Like, they literally, like, came out of the shower, were sitting there, and then they suddenly hear Vargas screaming, let's fight. And they're looking like, what's going on here? Like, you know, so, like, this is one of those things where this was not a, you know, this was not a team against the media thing where it was like, all right, we're going to fight you all. Like, this was one guy, one manager, and, you know, just yelling at one reporter. So, I mean, it'll be very, but yeah, it's a very interesting thing to see tomorrow, because especially, like, you know, how does Mickey address this? You know, because he's going to have to basically own up to the fact that he was, you know, calling a reporter a lot of names he should not have been calling him in front of a view. And, you know, people are going to see through if it's a fake apology, if it's just like, I'm sorry for what I did. So, you know, and also, this is kind of a big series for the Mets. They're about to play, you know, mm-hmm. a reeling Philly team that is ripe for the picking at the time. Who also remember, this is the crazy part about this whole thing. You have all this going on, then you have the Mets and Phillies playing. Who last time they played, Rhys Hoskins took about 4 hours to round the bases because he got plucked the previous night. So like, you have all this going on. You have two teams whose managers right now, you know, I saw it today. It was actually it made me laugh a little. A Philadelphia station tweeted something out about Gabe Kapler, and they said he had a tense post-game interaction. And you just saw his, like, he raised his voice for a second. I was like, well, I don't think that would really qualify in Mets land as tense today. I was like, he didn't start, cursing at everybody. But, you know, they're in a free fall. The Mets are, you know, I mentioned this before to somebody, but I said, it's incredible to think how this all unraveled just because they wouldn't use Edwin Diaz. Like, I don't think any of this happens if they use Edwin Diaz and they win or lose the game.
I agree.
I don't think a single thing that happened in this post game today happens.
I agree. All right, Matt Eholt, safe travels, and appreciate the time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.